Iran is eager to welcome outside investment. The country has also imprisoned an Iranian-American businessman. Those are two contradictory signs in Iran after a nuclear deal ended many economic sanctions.
You see the contradictions while moving around Tehran. We stood the other day on a side street. The cobblestones and the relative quiet made the scene feel timeless. Then we stepped through a sliding door.
You can hear the change as we walk into this shopping mall past store windows full of laptop computers.
A sign advertised a Chinese electronics firm with a distinctive slogan,
"In search of incredible."
Television monitors hung overhead showing business news from the U.S. company Bloomberg. This was one of many places where we saw signs of change. Another was the corner office of a businessman, Cyrus Rezaghi. He was wearing a necktie, an accessory Iran's Islamic revolutionaries long ago rejected as a symbol of the West. Rezaghi says nobody has yet complained. He's a business consultant advising foreign companies.
Everybody from Japanese, European, even American clients that we have.
The real question is that last part, American clients. Cyrus, who shares that name with an ancient Persian king, says Iran needs U.S. investment, even though many in its government want to ward off U.S. involvement.
GE and the likes of Honeywell, Microsoft, I mean, there is no substitute for these companies and technologies in Iran. So they are very welcome, despite what the general policy is that, you know, if you have a choice between a European and American company, try to bring the European company.
You can hear the contradiction simply by paying attention to Iran's supreme leader. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei clearly allowed the nuclear deal with outside powers, but he has just as clearly warned his country to be vigilant against U.S. infiltration. The anxiety he expresses may explain the story of a businessman we could not meet in Iran. Siamak Namazi is his name. He's a U.S. citizen. And the reason we could not see him is that he is being held in Iran's Evin prison. To learn more about his case, we had to leave the country. We tracked down his former business partner, an Iranian now living in Europe.
Well, Siamak is an Iranian-American. He was born in Iran, grew up in the United States.
That's Bijan Khajipour. The business partner says Siamak, the Iranian-American, could serve as a bridge between his two countries, which also made Siamak Namazi vulnerable.
The average Iranian-American, especially the average Iranian-American who has good contacts on one or both sides, are suspects, unfortunately.
Suspects in the eyes of intelligence agencies worried about American influence. Apparently, that suspicion fell even on Siamak Namazi, who had shown an interest for many years in the country of his birth.
In 1993, having finished his university degree in the U.S., he decided actually to return to Iran to do his military service, something completely unusual because most Iranians were trying to escape their military service. But Siamak decided to actually do his military service, and his argument was that this was the best way of being reintroduced to his home country.
He went on to do business in Iran for years, and even after leaving the country again, he remained an advocate for ordinary Iranians. He argued in the United States that economic sanctions were harmful to Iran. He also worked for a Persian Gulf petroleum company. And then he traveled to Iran in 2015. His family says he was only on a personal visit to his parents when things began going wrong. When and how was he arrested?
Basically, what happened was that when he was trying to leave Tehran after his short trip in July 2015, he was stopped at the airport, was shown a warrant by the security forces and asked to remain in Iran because they needed to interrogate him. And for about 3 months, he was subject to interrogations. He was free. He was living at his parents' house, but he was called to go in for interrogations. And the questions were mainly around the sphere between the Iranian diaspora, especially Iranian Americans, and the Iranians inside Iran. But unfortunately, at one of these meetings in mid-October, he was arrested.
What have you heard from him since?
He has managed to talk to his parents on the phone a few times. His mother has visited him a few times. Obviously, we don't know, and he cannot really communicate anything about how things are. But you can assume that it's a continuation of a more intense interrogation. And we all know Siah Mack so well. We all know that he has not done anything wrong or anything illegal. We really don't know what kind of an assumption was the basis for this arrest and what kind of an agenda is not driving it.
We should remind people that you were in prison for a time after the 2009 disputed election in Iran. What is it like to be a businessman in Avon prison for any period of time?
Well, what I can tell you is the worst thing is this ambiguity, the ambiguity about, you know, what you're accused of. And worse than that, how long the process is going to be. And I think this is part of the psychological pressure they put on you.
His parents in Tehran have yet to speak publicly about Siamak Namazi. His former employer, Crescent Petroleum, has only said he no longer works there. This case has received far less attention than that of the Iranian-American journalist Jason Rezaian. But when the journalist and other Americans were recently freed, Namazi's friends were dismayed to learn that he was not.
In fact, I've heard from a number of friends, Iranian-Americans, but also Iranian-Europeans, who are concerned about going back to Iran and are concerned about facing similar accusations like Siah Mack is facing right now. So it's definitely the case that Siah Mack's arrest has undermined the flow of members of the Iranian diaspora going back to Iran.
And those are some of the very people Iran would depend upon to spur new investment. To be sure, outsiders are still coming to Iran. During our week in the country, we saw British and German businessmen moving about Tehran hotels. We even met an Iranian-American businessman. He talked openly of many things, but asked us not to refer to him in public as Iranian-American.